You know, I think I was here just over a year ago, and the room was similarly full, and we had a very dynamic discussion about what Northern Pass is and what it isn't and so forth. Just a note, I'm not an expert in anything except perhaps the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests. But as with many of the people in the audience and certainly the other people up front, we've come to learn a lot about the proposal that's called Northern Pass. I'm going to just go through a few slides here and talk about what the proposal purports to be. I've got a little interlude, a little short video that's quite frankly more propaganda than factual information. I'll just warn you about that ahead of time. First, about the Forest Society. Are there any Forest Society members here? Anybody here? Good. So I have a few friends. That's great. I always make sure when I'm town moderator in my own town of Middleton that I know where my friends are sitting so I can go know who to go hide behind if things get rough. We're a member-based nonprofit founded over 100 years ago. We have 10,000 member households statewide. We own our own land, and some of that land is going to be impacted by Northern Pass if it were built. We also hold over 700 conservation easements on land that other people own, and some of those lands would be impacted by Northern Pass. Our mission, right from 1904, is to perpetuate the forests of New Hampshire through their wise use and their complete reservation of in places of special scenic beauty. Wise use is essentially an old-fashioned way to say sustainable management. We believe in forestry. We cut trees. We think the best way to keep forests is for people to be able to derive some revenue from them if they do it sustainably. So we're not against doing things in the woods. However, there are some places and some things that do a considerable amount of harm to forests. This is our headquarters in Concord. It's in was one of the earliest examples of a energy efficient building in New Hampshire. It was built in 1980 with passive solar, and now we have some active photovoltaics. We heat the place with a wood chip gasifier. So we use renewable energies today, and we try to walk the talk when we talk about conservation. Northern Pass. This is a project that is being proposed by a for-profit entity, a corporation. That corporation is essentially a shell corporation that is made up of a partnership between Northeast Utilities and NSTAR. Some of you probably know that Northeast Utilities owns PSNH. While Northeast Utilities and NSTAR and PSNH are public utilities, Northern Pass as an entity is not, and it's not a public utility project, and that's one of the key things to remember about it. They propose to invest $1.1 billion to build 180 miles of transmission lines going from the Canadian border of New Hampshire down in Pittsburgh down to Groveton, and then from Groveton down to Franklin, and from Franklin over here to Deerfield. In total, it's over 1,100 towers. One every 800 feet, they're meant to be 90 to 135 feet tall. They've said themselves that the tallest towers would be between Franklin and Deerfield, primarily because in Franklin, the direct current power, the high voltage DC, that comes down across the long distance from Canada gets converted to high voltage AC and has to co-locate it along the existing lower voltage AC line that runs Franklin to Deerfield, and there needs to be some physical separation between the high voltage AC and the lower voltage AC, meaning that the towers have to be higher. And as Erica said, 31 New Hampshire municipalities are impacted. So where's this money coming from? This is a participant-funded project, by which they mean they're not going to go directly to the ratepayers and say, we must build this project, so we must please Public Utilities Commission give us the authority to charge our ratepayers to build it. Instead, they're going to Hydro-Quebec and saying Hydro-Quebec is going to be the bank in this case. It's a little fuzzy how that's going to work, but that's more or less the situation. Hydro-Quebec wants this line because it wants to sell power to its own U.S. subsidiary to then resell into the grid on the open market. And that, again, I would reemphasize. This is not a public utility project. It's a project that allows Hydro-Québec, a crown corporation of Canada, to sell power to its own a subsidiary in the U.S. This is the original project map statewide. You can see the line that is highlighted in yellow is existing right-of-way, power line right-of-way, and it's their preferred route, what they called at the time their preferred route. The other red lines that kind of go around were alternate routes. For the most part, they've suggested that they would not use those alternate routes. They were attempting to reduce the amount of opposition and focus just on what they really wanted to do. The line north of the highlighted yellow up to the top of the map, it would be all new right-of-way. This is the line through Deerfield that you're probably most familiar with. It's an existing right-of-way. It's existing AC distribution right-of-way. It essentially enables you and others to get power to your homes. So let's talk a little bit about what is Hydro-Québec. It's a crown corporation. It's essentially a government entity, if you will. Northern Pass is clearly HQ's project. Northeast Utilities and NSTAR and PSNH are essentially subcontractors, is how I would describe them. They've been given the opportunity to try to build this line. If they can build this line, they'll get paid for transmitting the electricity that Hydro-Québec wants to sell down into New England. If you look at HQ's business plan over the long term, they want to export their electricity. In 2008, 8% of their electricity was exported, and that accounted for 22% of their net income. If you look forward, their projections, their goal is to bring that up by a third to 12% and generate 38% of their net income from exporting to us. If they can make it cheap and sell it to us for a lot of money, it's all good for them. This is one of their facilities up in Canada. This is not a little trickle across a stream where there's a little paddle wheel generating electricity. This electricity is created by damming vast areas and using those as batteries in order to essentially let the water build up and let it flow through and time that in a way that can generate the most profit in terms of selling the electricity. So it gives you a sense of the scale. You can see the people. This is one turbine at one facility. This is very giant stuff, which is important when you start asking yourself whether or not this renewable energy is in fact green or environmentally sound. So what is the Forest Society in favor of? How did we get involved in this? We're about trees. Why are we talking about energy and so forth? Well, first of all, our board of directors very clearly saw this proposed project as a direct threat to conserved lands, lands that we own, lands that other people own, that on which we hold easements and other conserved lands. As a statewide leader in conservation, we felt that we had to step forward and say, look, we conserve this land so that it wouldn't have commercial development on it. This is commercial development. And in addition, it's bad commercial development. It will be harmful to the places it's going through. We also believe in the public interest. We believe that decisions made by the public or things that affect the public should be made by the public, and it bothers us that the procedure, the process for the siting of this doesn't allow for a structured vote, if you will, by the people who will be most affected. We're very much in favor of property rights, and we can talk more later about eminent domain and House Bill 648. And we felt that our board has said from the beginning that from a Forest Society standpoint, we don't necessarily object to the concept of bringing power from Canada down to the New England market, but we do very much object to how they want to do it, which is that we believe is just the cheapest way and not the best way. Some environmental questions. How will this impact conserved land? So some of our lands are conserved specifically because of their scenic beauty. 135-foot towers are well above the existing tree line. We think it will be impacted there. It's commercial development. It's wide swaths of forest. It fragments forests. Is the power renewable? Is the power green? We'll talk more about that, but that's a key question. One can argue pretty well that it's renewable. Beyond that, whether it's green is a question. Will it in fact reduce the use of fossil fuels, especially coal? That's an issue that's very much in question. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit later. And are there alternatives that could allow for the transmission of this power without the destroying the New Hampshire's landscape? This is the view from the Rocks Estate, which is a 1,400-acre forest reservation, one of 170 such reservations we own. It's up in Bethlehem. We operate it as a Christmas tree farm. It was one that was protected and given to us, actually, specifically because of the scenic beauty. And it's here I'm going to try to cue up a video that talks a little bit more about the rocks.
I know about the rocks because I'm a neighbor. We live about 20 minutes from here. The rocks has a great operation. It does a lot of wonderful nature and conservation activities and workshops. It's a crown jewel of the society and a crown jewel for the state of New Hampshire.
The rocks is just a spectacular place in Bethlehem, New Hampshire. It was left by bequest to the Forest Society, and one of the stipulations in the bequest was that we keep the fields in the front of the property open so that the incredible view of the Presidential Range would always be available for people to see when they visited the rocks. The Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests opposes the Northern Pass project as it's been proposed. If Northern Pass is built, it will be an incredible desecration of the view from the rocks. The current power line runs between the rocks and that incredible view of the Presidential Range. And the trees are taller than the power line right now. If towers are built in that power line that are 85 to 135 feet tall, it will really ruin the view of the Presidential Range. Additionally, this is conservation land, and the right-of-way runs through conservation land. It was never envisioned 50 years ago, when that right-of-way was agreed upon, that these huge towers would be added to what's existing there now, that would carry a private project, basically, through this conservation land, which has incredible values for wildlife, scenery, and recreational pursuits. So it's both a visual problem, and it's also a problem for the land itself.
Preserved conservation land is really a matter of public trust. It's a deal, if you will, a sacred deal between the public and the state that certain parcels of land are going to be permanently conserved for the future, for our children, for our grandchildren, for the heritage of the place where we live. The economic benefits that are talked about relative to this proposal don't take into account any of the downside of what will happen to the landscape, and it won't be a temporary desecration. It'll last forever. The current proposal simply is not good for New Hampshire. It's a real detriment to New Hampshire. What I would say to the people of New Hampshire is that the Forest Society is not going to give up on this fight, that we're going to be there until there's a different kind of proposal from the Northern Pass folks, and that I encourage all the people in New Hampshire who have already committed to our cause to stay the course, be patient, be persistent, and we will succeed.
Don't be fooled. Say no to Northern Pass. Tell your elected officials to stand up and protect New Hampshire's forests today. Visit www.forestsociety.org/NP for more information.
No, you're fine. I just got to get back to my show here. Oh, look at that. Good.
Sorry for that
propaganda interlude there, but I thought you might like to hear from one of our trustees and our executive director. All right, so what does Northern, how do they get to do this? You know, what's the process and what happens? At the federal level, they need a presidential permit in order to cross the international boundary with a project like this, and they've applied for that. They applied for that December 2010. At the time, they were saying that they would begin an environmental impact study by May or June of 2011. That would be complete by about this time next year, and they expected, quite frankly, to be looking at receiving their presidential permit this time or in the next couple of months of 2012. In fact, what's happened because of a lot of the opposition up and down New Hampshire, they've more or less put that unofficially on hold. They have not submitted finally to the Department of Energy that oversees that particular permit a final route that they would propose. And without a final route, they can't really do a study of what kind of impact that route might have. And so that's somewhat in limbo, although the application is still live. The Forest Society and others have called for them to withdraw that permit, given the amount of opposition and the delay. They haven't chosen to do so. They also need to have a special use permit to get through the White Mountain National Forest. The existing right-of-way that they'd like to use between Groveton and Franklin cuts right through the White Mountain National Forest. It does through by virtue of a special use permit, and they have to apply for that. And both the DOE and the White Mountain National Forest are clear that they don't have the authority to site such a project in New Hampshire. New Hampshire still has that authority. Here in New Hampshire, that goes through a site evaluation committee. And so they put together a proposal. There's opportunity for public comment. And ultimately, that site evaluation committee on a statewide level makes a decision about something like this rather than being at the local level. They have not put in that application yet, it would be difficult for them to do so without knowing an exact route. And then there's also a Public Utilities Commission review of any proposed purchase power agreement. As of today, there is no purchase power agreement within the state of New Hampshire. Nobody in New Hampshire has an agreement to buy any of this power that they would propose to bring down from Canada. Why are property rights an issue? And I wanted to bring this up in particular because we're in Deerfield. There are new rights of way needed, and they've attempted to buy some land. I'll show you in a map in a second. But they also need to expand existing right of way in 13 different towns, including in Deerfield. That leads us to the eminent domain question. As many of you probably know, there was a pretty big battle over the course of a year in the state legislature over whether or not this project would have the power of eminent domain. It's very clear that early on, representatives of Northern Pass threatened the use of eminent domain when approaching landowners. Gee, if you don't sell to me now what I'm offering you today, we're going to end up with your land anyway. Once we take it by eminent domain, you'll only get market value then. Because of that threat, the legislature was convinced that they need to clarify whether or not a participant-funded project like this, a private transmission line, would have the same authority or ability to apply to the PUC for eminent domain that a public utility project does. And ultimately, they clarified the law that says, essentially, no. A project like this does not have the ability to petition the PUC for eminent domain. So as whether you're a landowner or a community, and whether you're in up north or whether you're in the 140 miles between Groveton and Deerfield, you should be aware that you have some rights, and you have some rights to say no if they want something out of you. And then another big question is, what's a reasonable use of an existing utility right-of-way? And this is something that we've taken some action on. We've engaged an attorney to begin exploring on our behalf. And who knows, there may come a time when other landowners would join us in this. But if a utility right-of-way was granted across your property at some time in the past, specifically for electricity distribution that was required to be necessary for the public good, does that automatically allow that that entity, that public utility, to monetize the project by developing it privately, by building a private line on it? We think that perhaps they don't. And at the very least, they would need to renegotiate with every landowner, because if they're going to be making money, if the corporation is going to be making money by transmitting power across that right-of-way, should not the landowner have the opportunity to negotiate that for themselves? I would point out that they don't agree with that assessment. However, it's also very clear, and I think it's fair to say, that from the beginning, PSNH in particular, and Northern Pass as an entity, has acted as if they were a public utility with a public utility project, and made several errors along the way, including that whole question about eminent domain. I think they were surprised, and they never really thought through the fact that they may not have access to eminent domain. And so they behaved as if they did, and then were caught up short when it became apparent that they did not. I think the same may be true with the right-of-way issue, the existing right-of-way issue. This is a slide, this is a map of not existing transmission lines, but proposed transmission lines in New Hampshire. This is a part of a nationwide trend, and some of our other panelists may be able to talk about this. This is not a lone project. There are others. You can see over here, there's a proposed undersea cable that would bring new power to New England. There's another one, this Northeast Energy Link. They propose to bury the line under existing transportation corridors. There's another one not even shown on this map over down through the Lake Champlain and down a railroad bed, the Champlain-Hudson Express. This is one of many, and there's others in the works that haven't really been made public yet. So if we want to get it right, we ought to use this as a way to make it clear, as a state, as people who care about our natural resources, how we would like it done. So what's next on this? And I'll wrap up here in a second. Eminent domain's off the table. I believe that up north, in that 40 miles between the Canadian border and Groveton, that there's slim to no chance that they're going to get through there without eminent domain. And that puts them in a real pickle. And I think that will be significant and provides the state with a bit more negotiating power as we go forward. As I mentioned, the existing right-of-ways are in question. And others on the panel will talk about this with a little bit more authority than me. But the whole economics of the cost of energy from different sources has changed radically in the last 5 or 6 years. And that in itself may sink this project. This is a map for the Concord Monitor pulled together that I just threw up here. It's at the 40 miles furthest north of this proposed project. And this line right here is their originally proposed route from the Canadian border down to Groveton. When they realized that they were not going to be able to get that through particularly easily, they begin quietly attempting to buy up land between the Canadian border out further east in Coos County, and attempt to get down ultimately to an existing line called the Coos Loop. What this map shows is that they've bought some land, and they like to go walk around and talk about how we're a certain percentage there and so forth. But the plain fact of the matter is that they're blocked in several ways. By the way, this right here is the Balsams. And if any of you are familiar with the Balsams, they own this purple bit right here. But we now own the right-of-way right here. And we started out that project because we wanted to conserve 6,000 acres of beautiful New Hampshire landscape that was highly valued by many people. In early December, when we first announced that we were going to attempt to do this and attempt to raise $850,000 in order to conserve this landscape, we did not say a word about Northern Pass, not a peep. But when they tried to stop us from conserving this land and tried and wrote a letter to the Attorney General's office in order to do so if it became about Northern Pass. And if you don't favor Northern Pass, and if you would like to feel empowered and think that perhaps you might have a chance to have a say in this, we ended up protecting this because over 1,700 people came forward and gave checks to us in order to able to make it possible for us to do this. And many of those made it very clear that it was all about Northern Pass. They didn't want it, and they wanted us to stop it, and they wanted us to acquire the... what we did was we acquired not just the conservation restrictions, but we bought a power line right away. That's what we did. So they couldn't buy it. You can see it right up there, that little notch up there. The area in the sort of dark yellow is the actual area that's conserved. The golf course, the ski area, the hotel is not conserved. And I'll end there. And as we go forward, if there's other questions about any of this, I'd be happy to answer them. So thank you very much.